told Z about this a year ago, that this was right, and he just guaranteed my righteousness right now by saying that I was right.
It's confirmed.
It's confirmed now. You can go ahead and say it. You can go ahead and agree with me that Ip Man 2 is the best Ip Man film ever made. Period. Or yep. None.
Absolutely right.
Yeah, I told you. I try to tell people, man. I try to tell people. They don't want to listen. It is the best Ip Man movie. Donnie Yen is Ip Man. I'm sorry, but no one can replace him as Ip Man.
He was just awesome. He literally was awesome. I'm like, this takes place how long after the first one?
I want to say about, it's not that long. I can't remember if it's six years or, and it might even be, I think it's about, 3 to 6 years or something like that. Maybe even 10 at the most.
Still in the 1950s, and...
Because they show you the ending of the first one where they had to fled to pretty much Hong Kong because of the war that broke out.
Yeah, I mean, in the first one, he was living in this massive house. Remember, he was like the richest guy in town?
Oh, hell yeah, because and everyone respected him. His style of martial arts, the Wing Chun, which I think really gets explained a lot in this film, a lot more too.
Yes.
You know, everyone loved him. Everybody knew who he was. And then the war broke out. Now he's struggling for cash. Has to live in pretty much a shack. He's got a newborn baby on the way.
Mm-hmm.
Having trouble opening up a school to teach martial arts because all this, since the war broke out, there's so many of these different rules now and paying fees and stuff like that. He's finding out life is a little bit more difficult, if you will.
Yeah, he can't pay rent.
Oh, yeah, I forgot, because he had to pay for his child's school, and apparently he didn't have enough rent money, so. Which I'm sure in 1950, rent was like $2 anyway, so.
Yeah, actually, a lot of, I think they said a lot of people were having trouble.
Oh, yeah, the war at the time had affected pretty much damn near the whole country.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it didn't help that the Brits came over and tried to fuck them over even more. Which we see in this movie. Fuck the British. Sorry. And they made the British people seem like the most arrogant fuckheads in this movie ever.
Oh, that boxer, Taylor?
Yeah, the Twister.
Twister. He was the epitome of a douchebag.
Oh, man. Talk about villain. Oh, but you know what, people? Welcome to Throwback Tuesday, episode 110. 110, another milestone. 110, goddamn, 110 talking to your ass. Wow. I have no life. All right.
Oh, shut up.
I am your spoiling host with the most, of course, the phenomenal one.
This is Z.
And we're here to talk about Ip Man 2, my favorite Ip Man movie. I'm a huge fan of Ip Man, and if anybody knows who Ip Man is, he is Bruce Lee's trainer and mentor, if you will. He taught Bruce Lee everything he knows.
Master.
This is my favorite one out of them. I think Donnie Yen plays a perfect Ip Man. And I think, personally, for me, it's one of the best martial arts films, too, as well.
For what I've seen, yes, it's right there.
Oh, yeah. It's got the story and the cool-ass martial arts scenes and the heart to it, as well.
And I noticed something about Yen, which I didn't really notice in the first one, that... He really is straight-faced a lot.
He
was straight-faced. Like, he really didn't show a lot of emotion.
Oh, yeah.
What was the student? When his student Wong...
I disagree with that.
Well, when his student Wong got arrested or got held captive after their fight, and he just sits there, takes a drink, takes a cigarette... Like, he knew he's like, oh.
No, that's wrong. No, he didn't take that drink when he got arrested. What the hell are you talking about?
No. I meant when he got held captive.
No, he's talking about, he got captured. What the fuck? They got arrested at the same time.
That's what I meant when he said bring the ransom.
Mm-hmm.
And
because he ain't worried about that. He knows how to handle that.
Yeah, he does.
You say he's straight, he only keeps one look on his own face. What the hell are you talking about? Because in that scene, he just fucking changes his facial reaction.
Yeah. Actually, I kind of meant he had more emotion.
Pay attention next time, motherfucker.
You may do a rundown.
Yeah, duh. You've been doing this for 110 episodes and you still asking for that shit? Get into it, motherfucker.
Ip Man 2, Legends.
Getting more lifeless every episode now. I don't know what's going on. I'm going to replace you soon, probably.
Ip Man 2, Legend of the Grandmaster, directed by Wilson Yip, starring Donnie Yen, Sammy Hung. I'm not pronouncing those other ones. Budget $12 million, box office $15 million.
Yeah, that says Shuming Hung.
What? What's that?
That says Shuming Hung.
Is that what that is?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Oh,
come on, man. Get up on your Chinese martial arts, man. Come on.
Do you know? Okay. And it follows after the war from the first movie. Ip Man and his wife and his child moved to Hong Kong. Can't support anything. He's struggling to open a school. And then he makes friends, or he becomes an official art or a martial arts class teacher. Refuses to pay the fees. Becomes friends with Hung.
Master, man. Goddamn.
What? I said master fees.
He becomes a master, not a fucking teacher.
Oh, sorry.
You said teacher. He's a master.
Master.
What's the fucking difference, man? Respect your fucking martial artist, master.
He,
God.
He becomes a master. Becomes a master, refuses to pay the fees, and pretty much earns respect from Hung. And then the British becomes big douchebags, literally. And then Ip Man beats the living fuck out of the boxer. The Twister.
And shit, we're not getting his ass but first, too, though.
Yeah. That box, who is, do you know who that boxer is? He looks extremely familiar.
You know who he looks like a lot in this film? He looked like Armie Hammer a lot.
That's who I was thinking. But when he first came in, what?
But his name is Darren Chalavi.
Uh huh. But he actually was his arrogance. He was like him and the Fuck, what was the other guy's name? This British soldier. Fuck, what was his name?
Fuck, I forgot his name. But, you know, the Twister was actually in the, he played Kano in the Mortal Kombat TV series they had going on back in 2011.
Oh, really? Okay. Okay. Trying to find that guy's name. But he... But him and the military, British military soldier, he was like, he was actually scary. He was like frightening. Now the British soldier, the way he was yelling at Hung in the on the arena before the fight when they were setting up, and Hung wanted to quit and go on paid, and the soldier pretty much said that he owns all of Hong Kong. The way he just kind of presented himself. Like, he was your stereotypical douchebag to the T. It actually wasn't, really. He was
supposed to be bringing in some money, some income. Supposed to be bringing some income into Hong Kong and helping out Hung and, you know, feed some of his students and his family at the same time. Because, obviously, Hong Kong wasn't generating any money because of the war. So, they were kind of... They kind of, it was in a way, they had no choice but to listen to the Brits at this time. I agree completely with you. The guy, he had, like, this demeanor where he seemed calm and cool and so refined and everything. And maybe it's just because he's British or whatever. But when he would just talk to you normally, it sounds cool. But when he would yell at you, man, it's almost like a different persona came out of him. Like that scene where he was beating on the news editor.
Oh god, yeah.
That nightstick, and he was holding his hand out. That was like a whole nother different person there. Or even the parts where he's by himself, he seems so more calm in his demeanor. But when he was around Twister, he was just a narcissistic deuce bag, man.
Oh god, The guy's name was Wallace. But Twister, he was like the main event, right? He was like the reason why this was happening, right? He was like the Mike Tyson, right? Like the main event.
Yeah, yeah, he was, because Western boxing had just kicked off, overseas, and he was the champion. He was the undefeated one. He was like the biggest person at that time in boxing, period.
And then when he went to the ring and said, when he started laughing about Chinese boxing, which I think it played off in the movie because they're saying that British, obviously British doesn't expect Chinese at all. So that was actually a really good tie-in with probably the way of the world is probably the same way. That he goes, hit me in the chest. And the guy did it.
You know, a lot of people like that, too.
Yeah. So I really think the boxer was... Him and Donnie Yen, I think they were just great. You had the great antagonist, you get the protagonist. You know, I thought it was great.
Yeah, I adore everything about the boxing scene here, or whatever. And I thought the boxing match was fucking incredible. I like Twister's take on how he added so much evilness, you will, to it, or arrogance, more like it too. Especially when they were performing the Chinese ritual of showing off their style of martial arts to the Europeans, and he just gets in the ring and says fuck all this and then starts beating up everyone and shit.
Yeah.
A real martial arts master doesn't really punch the person. He just kind of fake punches them, and that's how you kind of won in a way. But, obviously British people didn't fucking understand that because they were some arrogant fuckheads. It's amazing how 20 years later Americans took over and that became that.
We evolved. But, yeah, I loved one of the best things, like the fish market scene was absolutely fantastic, but I actually loved the scene when Ip Man had to earn to be a master and teach martial arts with the chairs around the table and then the different.
That was the best fight scene in here.
It was actually kind of funny, but when I think it was the second one or the first one, he goes, "That table's slippery," making excuses as he lost. I thought that was great.
Yeah, I forgot that master's name or whatever, but he was the main one talking shit. He was just like, "Look at him, no style. What is this Wing Chun style of fighting or anything like that?" And then the other one got in. Like that whole martial arts masters competition that they had between they broke a table, Z.
They did.
They broke a table. That's all. But did you remember the fight scene where Ip Man and Hung, they were going around the table trading like 50 punches per minute?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean,
that was fucking incredible how like they were just throwing it fucking.
Oh, and the cinematography for the fight scenes, and especially in the first one, was beautiful. They look like it improved greatly for this one.
Oh yeah, definitely. I think the one thing about the Ip Man movies, the cinematography always improves itself. I mean, even Grandmaster, I don't think is the best story, but the cinematography in there is just fucking phenomenal. It's excellent looking, actually.
Did you get a little Rocky IV story into this? Did you think that at all? No?
Because Rocky IV is a piece of shit, so...
Yeah. I kind of got that you had the foreigner beat a friend or someone respected, and then he steps up and beats him.
Well, technically, this is based on a true story, so Rocky got it from this. So.
True. Yeah, true.
Don't you talk about it. Don't you talk about Bruce Lee's trainer like that, motherfucker.
But, is it? I just kind of love that it's like everyone was like always like willing to accept the fight. You know what I mean? You know what I mean? Like, they just come up and says, let's have a fight. And they're like, okay. I thought that was,
it was a way of, showing off. It's a way of showing off their martial arts to, demonstrate, their style of how they use it. Chinese martial artists always believed in, not winning or showing off their fights or whatever, but more so of, letting their opponent know of their certain style to, so the whole world can, well, not the whole world, but the whole, I guess, city or country for that matter will learn about that. It's always a great privilege to show off your style of martial arts to another Chinese master and to have him impressed with it. I think when Donnie Yen, Ip Man himself, demonstrated the Wing Chun to the other Chinese masters and that to prove himself to be a master, I think that definitely put Wing Chun, helped, well, at least helped put Wing Chun on the map there as well, especially when he defeated Twister as well. That really improved the Wing Chun, which is the reason why people like Bruce Lee came to Ip Man.
Wing Chun, that's more of a defense martial arts, really, right? Would you say it's a defense one? And he actually,
yeah.
You're right, because
yeah,
you
I just said that to you.
Oh, and like in the first one, we didn't really. We learned a little bit about it, but we had more of a backstory on the Wing Chun on this one, which was good. Because it's actually...
Well, there is a serious lag going on right now.
There always is. But this one, it's like, you see more motion with the style, that it's actually a beautiful style that you got to see a lot more in this one compared to the first.
Oh, yeah. Especially in his training scene before he got to fight Twister too, when he was training by himself, and then he was watching his uncle who got shot in the head in the first film.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
that was actually pretty beautiful there in his training montage.
Yeah, that was really good too. But. Without a doubt, which I said when he was fighting all the masters, that was a great fight scene. But the fish market scene, there is, you said 100 guys, but I couldn't really tell a lot. But when you saw them, it looked like maybe 30 to 50. The fish market, it was just, they had weapons and pretty much he was doing
a lot more than 30 to 50, man.
You think, okay. It was hard to tell at some points. I couldn't. When they
didn't even show you how many guys there were at the end of the fight.
But seriously, the fish market scene was a cool fight. It had a little comedy, too, because Ip Man kept trying to stop his student from fighting, too. And he was handcuffed, too.
Yeah, Leung. Yeah, Leung was trying to really get involved in the fight because he's so impulsive. That he was just really trying to join the fight, and Ip Man was not only fighting these guys, but also stopping his student from fighting as well. That was pretty fucking impressive.
there's one part that I actually literally cracked up laughing when he got challenged in the alleyway or something, and he threw his hat, and he trying to throw it like and then he's trying to throw it like on a hook or something, and he missed. And they kind of look at him like, what the fuck are you doing?
It was a tree.
Oh, the tree. And they looked at him and goes, what the fuck are you doing? I thought that was pretty funny.
Yeah, they probably looked at him and said, Wing Chun is a joke.
Probably. But that was actually... There's a little humor here in certain aspects, but... The story...
Oh, yeah. There's tons of... Burn here with the from the charisma that pretty much all, most of these actors bring to the characters that they play, and there's a lot to like get a chuckle from. I think it really starts to get. I think it's one of those movies that gets more serious the longer it goes on. Like at first, it's I mean, not to say it's not serious from the beginning, because, you know, Ip Man going from mansion to almost damn near poverty and can't even get a student for his school and stuff. But it starts off really more with a little bit more comedy essence to it, and then slowly graduating into a damn near drama, especially when he starts to earn the respects of these other masters, and we get the death of Hong from Twister beating the holy shit out of that guy.
Mm-hmm. It was, it's just the fight. I think do you kind of agree with me that the fight scenes?
That was brutal.
Oh, it was very brutal.
It was a massacre.
It was pretty much, I don't know how many times he punched him, but it looked like about close to damn near fucking 100. Pretty much beaten to death.
Yeah, I was going to say, man, when he was holding on that rope and people kept saying, and people kept screaming, "Let go of the rope, master, let go of the rope," and he was still holding the rope, man, you feel so much pride for a man that's trying to defend his country and his people of it and stuff. But I thought that when you're on the rope that the referee's supposed to break it up, and that referee didn't break up shit. He just continued to pound this to Hong. He kept hitting him, and then, yeah, I'm with you, it was damn near 100 times until he finally let go of the rope. And I was like, yeah, you goddamn right he did. I mean, because they played Twister up to be really powerful, like his arms and stuff, he's really strong and stuff.
Mm-hmm.
And he was getting hit at least 30 times plus in the face, straight on. I mean, one blow from Twister was knocking these dudes to the ground.
Yeah. Yeah, we saw that earlier with one punch, pretty much knocked out a guy. That's how you really build the villain up, is just that. He has that ruthlessness. And I kind of would question that too, because in normal boxing, you're on the ropes, the ref breaks it up, but I think it was considered an exhibition. That's the only thing I can say is why the ref didn't break it up, but I question that as well. So do you kind of think that's why the referee didn't stop it, because it was an exhibition?
No, that was not an exhibition, number one. That was not man, that was a match. What the hell are you talking about? Number two, no, Z, did you not catch the point that these were the British against the Chinese and they were playing favoritism?
I caught that certain aspect, especially in the last fight.
The last fight, yeah, exactly, because they were playing favoritism. They were playing favoritism throughout the whole damn thing and whatever and shit. The British were owning the Chinese. They never respected the Chinese. Even in the last fight, it's supposed to be Wing Chun versus boxing, and yet they told him no kicking.
Yeah.
So then it's damn near a boxing match then if it's no kicking. That don't make any damn sense. It was supposed to be a versus of styles match.
Because
not a straight boxing match. So how are you going to, in the middle of the fight, just because you see that his kicks are effective, you got to tell him, okay, you got to tell him to stop using kicks now?
Because the British, if you notice, that they never say anything about martial arts. They just kept saying it's Chinese boxing. Like, it's how it's a big of an insult, you know, to that anyway.
That was a way of showing their ignorance.
No, it played off pretty well. And played off really well.
Yeah, played out. I mean, Americans are used to that now, because that the roles are reversed now.
Yeah. But yeah, it played off perfectly. Just Wallace and Twister, that was just perfect casting for them.
Mm-hmm. I even like Donnie Yen's speech at the end after he wins a match too.
Yeah, he's Donnie, he does, I mean, I haven't seen much of his. I saw he was in Blade 2, and I don't remember who he was in Blade 2. But I really like him a lot.
He was the guy with the swords.
The vampire guy with swords?
Yeah.
Oh, shit. Other side. Oh, no, I did not. Oh, God. I'm going to have to revisit that movie.
Yeah, he was the badass. the swords and shit.
Okay. But I really like him a lot. And he got, and this one, I think this
he's
one.
He's got some great other action films out there, people. Yeah, one come out last year and this year, and they both kicked a lot of ass. I mean, he's got some incredible fucking fight scenes in his action films outside of the It Man films. I mean, the guy is really a class act working hardcore. I think he's one of my favorite Asian actors working today, to be honest.
And he really had like a shine, like compared to the first one, even though they are both about him, though. But I think he had more shining moments in this one because you got to see longer fight scenes, a lot more heart. Because he did
More of that shine comes from. I think a lot more of that shine comes from him. His fights seem to have more meaningful purposes since mm-hmm. he's defending all of China and its style of martial arts.
Yes. Yeah, and a lot of honor. I think that's one of the reasons why this is the better movie is because, well, he did fight both for honor at the end, but he had more on his back in this fight because he's defending an entire country. And,
oh, fuck yeah.
And obviously their way of life,
oh,
which is martial
yeah.
arts.
Yeah, yeah. Because you remember that scene where Twister was making fun of the incense?
Yes.
Like, I'll pick a fire as long as this incense is still burning or whatever. And then Donnie Yen comes out of the crowd and tells him what the incense meaning is and stuff like that. It's a lot more honor was going on into this fight. I mean, granted, the first one had two, but this one, it felt like it was much more important because it almost feels like the Brits were kind of trying to take over their civilization. But not only, like, implementing that Chinese boxing, if you will, is weak, but it no longer needs to be in effects when more so than ever Chinese style martial arts in the day was not only just the martial arts, but it was also a way of life to them. You know, boxing is a way of making a living. Chinese martial arts in that time frame was a way of life for them, and it was something that they did not only just to defend themselves, but it was more of a spiritual thing, more of a connectivity thing, more of a training thing, more of a team. There's so much more meaning to it than just a fighting stance.
Yeah, it's pretty much martial arts in China is king, I would say, right? Like, it's the highest
yeah.
form of respect. Because I didn't catch...
I don't know how it is now.
Oh, probably not now, no. It's their history is martial arts, and I don't know, I can't remember how many different styles that were shown in this movie. Obviously Wing Chun and the first, and who was Hung? What was Hung's? What did he call his martial arts? Do you remember?
He didn't say his name of his. No. Oh, yeah. It was the, I forgot the name of it. I forgot the name of it. Damn it.
Yeah, but...
Fuck.
You got to see different, especially when, Ip Man is, fighting the Muller Masters. You saw the one guy with his stance looked like he had his fingers down. That was the first one, and then you had a second one, which you had brief glimpses of the other arts, which...
The first one was more of a mantis style.
What? That's how I thought so too. Yeah, and I just thought that was really cool that they.
And then the second one was more of a crouching style.
Crouching, but I thought it was really cool. You got more. You got more light shed on the different styles, which is good for something like a period piece like this movie.
Well, they did that in the first film too, so. It Man has always brought out the best of certain martial arts films and stuff, martial arts styles and stuff. But I think this one really expands on it because they're moving from the first film, which was in a small little town, to moving to a bigger global city in the realm of China, which was obviously Hong Kong, and implementing so many different styles and stuff. And then, you know, obviously implementing boxing into it as well. And like Donnie Yen said at the end, it's not really to show which style is more dominant, but just accept a certain person's style of the way they choose to fight.
Yeah.
And respect it.
Would you learn the Wing Chun martial arts? Would you actually go through that and take and learn it?
Oh yeah, definitely. As a matter of fact, if I ever, which I am probably planning a trip to China, in the nearby future, probably like in a year from now, if I get to travel to a village where this like martial arts is, because I said that probably not now, martial arts probably isn't as big in China like it is, but I'm willing to bet that there is some small little cities or even areas of China where they do still practice that. I would definitely probably wouldn't have time to learn it, but I would definitely go visit one of these cities and definitely look up on more of Wing Chun because I find it to be very fascinating style of martial arts as well. Especially, I find it even more fascinating when he's training by himself more so than he is actually having a fight.
Yeah, you're right. You're right.
Just seeing like that training montage of him fighting the stick blocks when he's just doing that and whatever, you can see how his leg movements is and how his palm thrusts and all that whatever and moves and how it's implemented so well into his fight scenes. You're just like, wow, that looks incredibly difficult.
Yeah, it's the flow. It's like he's so graceful. Like you don't see that. I mean, obviously Wing Chun's not, a new style or nothing, but
Oh, it's
it's,
old as shit.
yeah. Is it one of the oldest?
Yeah, definitely one of the oldest, yeah.
It's just the grace that he moved. I don't know if that was just Yen, if it was Donnie Yen, just his knowledge of the martial arts or if it's the style, but it was just he's the fluid motion, the gracefulness. It's actually like a beautiful movement.
Well, one thing I noticed about it too, because we're gonna definitely talk about more Wing Chun. Okay, so you remember when his pupil got into the alley fight, right?
Yeah.
He moved just as good as if he'd been studying Wing Chun for years, right? But did you notice between his and Donnie Yen's movement that his was more aggressive than Donnie Yen's?
Yeah. Well, you said it earlier that the student was more as like a hothead.
Yeah, he's more impulsive and shit, trying to show off and stuff like that. Where Donnie Yen is just, like you said, he feels more fluent and it feels more comfortable for him when he moves around. And he knows his level of skill or anything like that. I mean, they damn near straight up saying that Wing Chun is one of the best martial arts you could ever learn.
Yeah, and Ip Man said it in the movie that when he got asked, "Can he fight 10 guys with weapons?" He goes, "I would run." That he's not stupid.
Exactly.
So they even did it there because he was look when they had all when all the guys were circled around him, they were look he was looking he wasn't looking at the weapons, he was looking for a way out. He was looking for that escape,
I like when he
which.
picked up the crate and was using that as a weapon to deflect the blast. And then even when he got the swords and how he turned them around to the non-sharp end just to slap them down and shit.
Oh, that was great. I loved when he had the pallet. When I think he had the pallet on one side, he flipped it and grabbed the swords.
Yeah, and then he kicked the pallet or whatever, and it knocked out the two guys as well.
Yeah, that was really cool. Did you
Fuck.
did do you think he really had to learn Wing Chun?
I'm not really necessarily sure on Donnie Yen's his martial arts background. So he could have been, yeah. I'm sure he didn't have Wing Chun in his background though.
No,
I'm
because
pretty sure he probably most likely learned that as it went along. I mean, the action scenes are shot really well here too, so you can't say, oh, it was edited out or anything like that. No, you could see almost every movement. Even when he's throwing like 100 fists per minute, you see every fist land. That was one of the most beautiful things of the fast style fighting in this film, is that you saw every punch, even no matter how fast it was going.
yeah. And that's, I think you said it best. We've said it with the raid and all that. I think fight scenes, foreign fight scenes, showed the beauty of it compared to American fight scenes.
Yeah, because obviously American fight scenes, they're just switched out with stuntmen, or it would be real. The only person, one of the only person now working today that I can know could probably do it without being heavily edited or a stuntman doing it is Tom Cruise, who does all his action shit.
True, you're right.
Yeah, I mean, there's not too many men that would do that. Liam Neeson definitely is the. That's why those Taken movies are so fucking edited bad, is because obviously he doesn't know martial arts, so when you see him do these quick cuts and shit like that, he's just like, yeah, that looks terrible. Especially when your film is based around someone, a guy is supposed to be a badass, and he's supposed to be using his hands to beat your ass, and the editing is so bad on it, because obviously we know that guy don't know either no martial arts, or we got a stuntman there, so we got to kind of zoom the camera out and move around really quickly.
Yeah.
Why even do the film, then, if you got to do that?
Yeah, you're pretty much eliminating, your editing skills are making your main character look weak.
Yeah. And isn't that the whole premise of the film anyway? It's just like, this guy's such a badass. Well, you're not letting me see that he's a badass because you got editing, or this is a stuntman and your camera is just moving around so quickly I can't even see what he's doing.
Mm-hmm.
It takes away from the character, it takes away from the movie, because even in some of the dumbest films like that, like a Taken film, in a way it takes away from that just for the simple fact that, you know, I came to see this guy beat the shit out of 100 guys.
Yeah, and I think...
He took that away from me.
Do you think, like, foreign movies like China, Japan, Japanese, especially martial arts movies, but do you think movies like that, they do it for more pride and love?
Just imagine that there's a sense of pride in there just because of the rich history between China and martial arts. I mean, I gotta say, it's probably one of the best based on true story films.
This has to be up there. Both of it, they have to be up there.
I mean, even if most of this wasn't true, I think it still showed a great service and respect towards both ends on there. So,
well, if someone watches this movie who has no idea about Wing Chun or Ip Man or whatever, like I did in the first one, I would not have guessed it was a true story. Yeah. You know what I mean? This one, when you see Bruce Lee at the very end, you know, young kid Bruce Lee, you'd be like, what the fuck? And then you're gonna want then you're gonna be like Bruce Lee, Ip Man, you know. Then you'll find out the story.
This because nobody knows about Ip Man, but they know about Bruce Lee. But you know, Bruce Lee ain't a badass compared to Ip Man, because Ip Man was beating his ass for years. So you know, it's like so you know. But oh man, that kid, we gotta get on that kid now. That kid was perfect. That kid, the walk he came in with, the whole swinging the nose with the thumb.
Oh, that was great. That was great.
Oh, my God. That kid was miniature Bruce Lee. I was like, man, either that kid practiced that shit, or he just, either he looked up to Bruce Lee or something, but he came in spot on, man. When the dude came and said, I met a new friend or whatever, and he did that walk, I was just like, God damn, is that Bruce Lee? Is this like an old footage or something?
No,
spot on.
I thought of that too, because I've seen Bruce Lee movies, and I'm like, he has his mannerisms down to the point.
Yeah, man, the mannerisms was just, it was all there. And then when he says, I want to learn your martial arts so I can beat up people, whatever, and then Donnie Yen just laughed it off and said, come back when you're older, whatever, and the kid just looked at him and just walked away or whatever. I was just like, oh my God. That was another thing that, well, I think this film was the best Hitman film as well, too, is because they had that element of Bruce Lee in it. Everybody's always said, when is Bruce Lee going to show up in a Hitman film?
Yeah, I think you said a lot. I think, well, I know you've seen the second one when we did review the first one. And yeah. I think I might have said that, because I know that Hitman trained Bruce Lee. And yeah. I'm like, I know there's a second one and a third one coming on. Is Bruce Lee going to be shown?
I wonder, one of the reasons why I wonder why they won't show it is because Bruce Lee is just such a Chinese icon. Maybe they feel like they can't show him great service or something like that. I don't know. I'm not necessarily sure why they won't do it.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it's out of respect for Bruce Lee?
I wonder if it's one of those, since he was like one of the biggest Chinese actors and martial artists at the time. Or I wonder if it's just out of respect why they won't put him in the film, because maybe they feel like they just can't do what he could do service, or maybe they just can't find that actor that can portray him that well or something.
Oh, I'm sure really if he was alive, it would probably happen. Or if Brandon Lee was alive, it would have happened.
Oh, fuck yeah.
It would have happened.
Definitely, if someone of the Lee family was still alive, mm-hmm. that knew his style, whatever, I'm sure they would pull it off. But now another thing too is, I wonder how many Chinese people have got offered the role and turned it down.
Yeah, that's.
Because it's like, no, I'm not doing that, because if I fuck that up, I'm gonna be hated in China.
Yeah.
I mean, you
Especially
know,
if
Chinese
it's.
people aren't as arrogant as Americans or any other thing. So, you know, they, like you said earlier, they have a lot more respect and stuff like that. So, you know, someone coming to play an iconic character in America, they'd be like, oh, fuck yeah, I want to do that. Yeah, I
Well,
want to definitely do
especially,
that.
who is the actor that played Bruce Lee in the Dragon movie?
Oh, fuck, I forgot his name.
Because didn't he get some hate for
Yeah, he got
that?
some terrible hate, man. He got shit for that.
Especially if it's a Chinese movie, they're probably gonna take the greatest respect and do that to a T. If it's an American movie, it's gonna be rushed and
Don't give a fuck.
it's gonna be rushed. That was Jason Scott Lee.
Oh, yeah. If it was an American movie, they'd get Ken Watanabe to do it, and there you go. He can be like, oh, Sensei Imp Man. Oh, you bring great dishonor to me. Oh, you're wrong. It'd be the most disrespectful thing you ever fucking saw. It's almost that kind of thing, too, though. Where being a huge fan of Ip Man, not just in the movie, but personal respect I have for him as an artist. Now I'm calling him an artist. Do I really want to see Bruce Lee, him and Ip Man in a film? Because Donnie Yen to me is Ip Man. All the other incarnations of Ip Man I've seen have been just bland or okay. If Donnie Yen doesn't do it and they don't find a great Bruce Lee, which I highly doubt you can, because Bruce Lee was just so charismatic. I mean, he.
One of a kind.
Oh, definitely one of a kind. I mean, his style of, you know, Wing Chun is already something, and we just talked about the different styles of Wing Chun with Ip Man and his pupil in the alley fighting and how it looks so very fucking different. But I think Bruce Lee put a lot of charisma into Wing Chun where he made it look like it was just bona fide epicness, you know? It's like he added personality to the style.
And I'm sure some studios were trying when Brandon was alive, was trying to mold him as the next Bruce Lee.
I wouldn't be shocked by that if they did try to put on something. I mean, because, you know, Brandon Lee was still alive in the early 90s and stuff, and, you know, the martial arts films in America was still coming out pretty strong. I wouldn't be shocked by that.
Yeah, do you think also the mysteriousness of how Bruce Lee died and then his son died, do you think that's why maybe people aren't gonna take it?
You know, British people shot his ass. That's what it was. It's that
Oh,
curse. It's
was it?
that curse. It's that bullshit. Yeah, fake bullet, blank bullet. Yeah, blank bullet my ass. Yeah, They did that on purpose, man. That wasn't no setup. I can tell you that right now.
Yeah.
It's a little too coincidental for me to be saying like that. Oh, this is a blank bullet. I shoot. Yeah, bullshit. They shot his ass on purpose.
That's one of the great things about, with Ip Man is because you're not only getting, you're getting a more of a backstory on Bruce Lee too, of his life, what he went through, which I still think Bruce Lee's iconic to this
Oh
day.
yeah, everybody does. Especially Chinese people, they love him.
Oh yeah, he's pretty much, is he the, you think he's the most famous Chinese actor?
Oh hell yeah.
He, yeah, he's,
Today.
yeah,
Even
to
today, so yeah, he's the most iconic one too at that.
So I'm like, I think there could be like some fear of that, but and nobody
Like it is
wants.
right now. If I was a Chinese man, even though if I knew martial arts or not, and someone asked me to play Bruce Lee, I would turn that down.
You know who I think America tried to be Bruce Lee, like after Brandon Lee died, was he played Liu Kang in Mortal Kombat.
I don't even remember who the fuck Liu Kang is, to be honest. Oh, okay, now I do. All right, I got you. Like, who the fuck is Liu Kang? Oh yeah, that motherfucker that did sandbags in the game.
Yeah, I think that America tries to create that Bruce. They tried it with Jackie Chan. They tried it with Jet Li.
Well, Jackie Chan was in his own
He was, yeah,
element.
he was,
I
he
don't
and
think
Jet
they.
Li was too.
Yeah. Is Jet Li Chinese?
I think so.
Okay. I'm not sure what he was. I know Jackie Chan is. Sure.
Jet Li is, yes, he is Chinese.
Okay.
But they were stars before they even came over here.
Why those expendable films are insulting? Because Jet Li could beat the shit out of everybody on that fucking team.
But Stallone's got his ego. He won't let that happen.
Oh, thank you. I've been trying to tell Wayne this shit about Stallone and his fucking ego for I don't know how long, and that motherfucker does not listen. But he hates Tom Cruise because Tom Cruise has an ego, but he loves Stallone. I'm like, Stallone got the fucking biggest ego in Hollywood. He's still trying to relive his glory days and shit.
Yeah, you can't out-top him. And that's why I'm very surprised that Statham, who can do stuff, is second star to Stallone.
Is he really? Because you don't never get to see it in those sequels shit. I mean, if anything, he's getting more less and less screen time in those sequels, whatever. I think Stallone pretty much ruined Statham's career.
Yeah, and Statham, we've seen him do stuff. He can do some stuff.
I think he's a great action star, to be honest.
Yeah, Transporters, he was awesome.
I think Stallone killed his fucking career. And then Stallone started producing his solo films he started doing after Expendables.
Yeah.
And they was a shit. I mean, you don't even find them exciting in those. I mean, at least in a Statham film, if they're terrible, you can at least get some kind of excitement out of it just from the fight scenes.
Mm-hmm.
But the last solo films, which was Homefront and Parker, that Stallone produced, they were dog shit.
Yeah, I wasn't too fond of Homefront.
No, they were boring. His fight scenes wasn't all that and nothing, and they were just boring. Stallone is sucking the fight scenes from fucking Statham.
Yeah.
It's like Expendables. You got men on here that actually know martial arts, and you're just showing gunplay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, okay. Well, what was the point of getting this person then? You could have just got any random ass person in to get this play.
I mean, yeah, they could have got some random Chinese person that's to be Jet Li's character. Especially in the second one, he disappears 10 minutes after the movie.
The fucking third one, he just shows up at the end. There's supposed to be a fight scene with Statham and this dude in the third one or whatever, and then you like, oh yeah, we got to finally see Statham beat the shit out of somebody or whatever, and you don't even get to see it. You're just like, wow, I'm lost now for this.
Mm-hmm.
I think personally Statham needs to get away from Stallone because he's fucking his career up even more.
No, maybe soon. Maybe soon.
But, I don't know, final thoughts on Ip Man 2.
Ip Man 2.
Grandmaster.
This is...
Oh! So this was part of the Qing Dynasty.
Was it?
Yeah, people, if you know about the Qing Dynasty or whatever, okay, I'm a big fan of this game called Shenmue that was released on the Dreamcast.
Well, that's a throwback right there.
And then the sequel came out on Xbox back in 2001, and they just started a Kickstarter at this year's E3 to Shenmue 3 is actually finally getting made. They talk a lot about a lot of the martial arts that was used in this film.
And that's the one you're promoting on Twitter, right?
Yeah, that one.
Okay.
Apparently the style of Wing Chun comes from the Qing Dynasty, which they bring up a lot in that game, and the term Wushu. Which is it's a lesson learned about martial arts in China, man. Wow, man, a game is really connected to this fucking, because I'm looking it up right now in the Wing Chun or whatever. I'm just reading about it right now, and I'm seeing a lot of connections of words I've heard from that game and shit. I'm like, ah, damn.
How much
martial arts I'm using in the game? Is that Wing Chun?
How much is that up to now?
It ended about 2 weeks ago, and it's at 6 million.
Nice, so we will see the game will be released then.
Yeah, because I think the budget they wanted was 2.5.
Okay.
And then if they get 5 million, that they would expand the game even more.
Nice.
And if they get 10 million, it would be even bigger, but apparently it ended at somewhere around 6 or 7 million, I believe.
Yeah, that's all that counts.
Yep, game will be made, and I am happy and excited for that, and I cannot wait to play that, and I hope they bring up more of this, and I hope they bring up Wing Chun in there now. I'm really believing about it.
But
I'm very fascinated with this style of martial arts, though.
Do you know some martial arts, don't you?
I know Jiu-Jitsu.
Just Jiu-Jitsu?
I know Jiu-Jitsu and Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu, and I was going to do Muay Thai, but... I think I got injured at that point and just didn't give a fuck. But I know Jiu-Jitsu, Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu. I have somewhat of a small wrestling background as far as takedowns go, whatever. And that's pretty much about it, though. I wish I could learn more.
Could you imagine doing Wing Chun in an MMA fight?
Oh, man. That would be something to see that, like, one day, like, just get this rookie... UFC fighter or something like that, and like get him going against the baddest dude in UFC or some shit like that, and he's just standing there, and everybody's like booing him, and he's just like, is this guy gonna move or not, or whatever, and then just to see him when he gets strike, to see how his movement moves like Wing Chun, that'd be fucking incredible right there.
You never hit him.
Yeah. It's a great defense technique. I mean, it's the greatest defense martial arts out there.
Yeah. I think that would be interesting to see. I'll definitely watch that fight.
Bebo, if we got any fans that are Chinese and has a family of generations years ago that's still alive and they know about Wing Chun, please hit us up at moviesportspodcast.com and share this information with us. I'm very fascinated with this foreign martial arts and would love to just study up on it.
Do they still train that?
No, I'm not sure. I mean, I would hope so, just because of the popularity it grew with mm-hmm. Bruce Lee. I'm assuming that they do. But
Especially these movies.
Oh, fuck yeah. I'm not sure if there's any descendants alive that still know the form.
Mm-hmm. Because Ip Man's dead, right?
Oh, yeah, he's dead.
And his,
we know Bruce Lee's dead. So.
And his sons, I don't. He might have trained his sons.
Maybe. I mean, we never got to see Brandon Lee do anything, I guess, because he only had the one movie, and it wasn't really a martial arts film, so.
Yeah.
But they're dead, too, so. Hey, see, you bringing up some dead people, this don't really help out in the.
Well, I meant Ip Man's sons.
Oh, they're fucking dead, dude.
So if you learn Wing Chun, you die.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah. So I mean, they pretty much put a bullet to your head, so yeah.
The British are trying to keep it down.
Oh, that's because I'm reading about the alignment and structure. People, check this out. It says the alignment and structure of the styles. It says, because of Wing Chun's usage of stance, the vertical punch is thus more suitable. The limb directly in front of the chest, elbow down, vertical nature of the punch allows a practitioner to absorb the rebound of the punch by directing it through the elbows and into the stance. Damn. This is a desirable trait to a Wing Chun practitioner, because it promotes use of the entire body structure to generate power, whereas in the rebound of a horizontal punch uses only the arms to strike. In this elbow out position, the hinge structure directs force outwards along the limb, producing torque in the puncher's body.
Yeah. Wow. Jesus. That's so detailed, too.
Oh, yeah, man. There's even a scene, a passage here about how they protect themselves, where the strength comes from, how their impact move, the directness of a punch, the alignment structure, how their legs are kicked out and stuff. Yeah, everything is very detailed. Uncommitted trapping skills, how to vertical throw someone in the style, center aligning yourself. Yeah, it's very detailed. Oh, they even got a scene of your relaxation, how you're supposed to relax your body when using the style.
Yeah, that's.
It says if you're tense and you have stiff arms, you most likely won't be able to perform this technique.
I'm out.
Yeah. that goes to show like why Donnie Yen looks so relaxed in the film as he's using the style.
Yeah, he has to know something. He has to know something for those movements. He just has to.
There's a lot of similarity. I mean, even though there's a lot of differences in martial arts, a lot of similarities on just how to perform it with mainly just how you keep your body relaxed and the tension you keep and bringing the power form itself into the game.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of similarities. So I'm sure he has some basic knowledge of just, you know, I'm pretty sure if you have basic knowledge of martial arts that the Wing Chun shouldn't be that hard for you to learn.
Yeah.
If you don't have any sense of martial arts and it might take you a while.
Yeah, it's not like one you can just go off the street and learn it. You know, you probably have to learn at least something different.
Yeah, because most masters, which I even met a master one time, before they even teach you something, they won't teach you shit until you learn just like breathing techniques and shit like that or whatever.
Because they always say the power is in your breathing.
Yeah, I mean, they won't teach you. If they see you unrelaxed, uncalm, they won't teach you nothing.
Yeah. And you spurn one master, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah, pretty much, yeah. You might as well just start your own training. Get your own gym and shit like that, because, yeah.
And get no students. But final thoughts. Beautiful movie. It's the fight scenes. The fight scenes carry this movie. They're especially with fuck, I keep forgetting his name. Twister.
Twister.
It's just brutal. His boxing, it's just brutal. But
Oh man, the movie did a great job of showing how powerful he was.
yes, but oh, when he said when he wanted the guy to hit him in the chest, and I think he might have he kind of pulled his shoulder straight to impact the bro. Oh, that was awesome.
Scary, dude.
Very scary. And it's just the fight scenes, they were beautifully shot. That's the biggest compliment it's gonna get, is the fight scenes were beautifully shot. You didn't miss nothing. You saw full wide angles. It was just perfect viewing for a movie. But this gets a high C. I love Donnie. I love Donnie Yen. I want to say that he just released the movie, what, a couple months ago?
He did. I sent you know what? It was when I was on Facebook. I didn't send a clip, but I commented on it saying I remember putting Cody as a tag on it and saying, Cody, if you thought the Ray 2 or something, you need to see this fight. Donnie Yen has this fight scene in this movie, people. I forgot the name of it, but I saw it. It's a fucking great ass fight scene he had with this one guy, where this one guy used a bamboo stick, and he had a knife. So it was a knife versus a bamboo stick. This shit went on for like 10 minutes, and just it was incredibly shot. It was just shot well, really good too.
Yeah, but this gets a high C it.
Man, rewatching this film, because I've watched it a plenty. I own it actually on Blu-ray as well. Rewatching it, I was still fascinated just by what I was learning from it, man. It had a lot to teach and a lot to show. Very fascinated with the film. I was in love with the characters here. Donnie Yen is incredible. I really love the mutual respect him and the Hong, the master, they had. It was something very great. I love that Wing Chun got explored more into the world. I love the respect that was shown, the British invasion. I thought that was just incredible. Incredible setup, especially setting up this go-to bad guy you have in here to display this powerful new form of fighting, if you will, with the boxing, compared to Wing Chun, one of the oldest style of martial arts of the greatest defense. It's pretty much the greatest defense technique versus the greatest offense technique, which was incredibly shown here. Man, that when Donnie Yen too figured out that, like, because I remember he was thinking of back when he saw a Hong fight, and he said test his rib cage, and he found out that the rib cage is good. I can't. It's not working when I hit on that. So where is his power coming from? Then he realized it was coming from his arms, and he started attacking the arms and the shoulders and shit. And then you saw like Twister kind of shake it, kind of like get a little numb a bit and whatever, and he couldn't work it off. That was incredible right there. I was like, ooh, I was like, you found the weakness to his strength or whatever. He realized that them punches hurt, so I need to weaken his arms out more. And when he just started like taking his arms apart in that last round, it was fucking awesome. Yeah, man, it's definitely getting a high C it for me.
And this has a extremely high 90, what, 92% rating.
92%. Because I think Hitman 1 had 86, I believe.
Yeah, and it and you said there's a the plans third one coming out, which
For next year.
for next year, and I really wonder how they're gonna expand the story. Maybe I really hope it's more Wing Chun a
Oh,
lot.
definitely, yeah. That's the thing about it, man, too. He has so many stories to tell as well. It's hard to say, I want to see the Bruce Lee one or whatever, because he has so much other stories to be told as well, too. I mean, his stories of films can go on for years if they wanted to. I think that they're getting weaker the longer they go. The final fight, I thought, was just weak as shit. I mean, if you think Donnie Yen has charisma or personality or whatever, you don't get that from none of these new guys at all that play it, man. I mean, they're just generic action fighters, if you will. The film is very, both films are very stylish still. The cinematography is spectacular in them, but Grandmaster, even too, Grandmaster and Final Fight has some of the weakest stories in these Ip Man films.
But the story, it's I don't know, the story kind of, the or obviously the fighting overshadows the story, but the fighting tells the story. I know it's
I would
kind of
agree with that.
it might be hard to understand what I mean, but if you see this movie, you'll understand what I mean.
Yeah, well, especially in the time period, it's said that the fighting does definitely tell the story. Yeah, especially with all these dynasties and stuff. I think the story in the second one obviously is the best one, though, because of the implications. I think it's a great sequel to the first one to see Ip Man at the top of the world, pretty much, to see in this film, you know, life is shit. But he still never treats it as if it's bad or anything. He still has a smile on his face, still does what he does, and he still goes out there and try to do what he does. A lot of respect for that man. I
Very
love
much.
you, Ip Man.
Very much.
I want to have an Ip Man one with you.
But yeah, very much
Little
so.
Ip Man ones running around, you know.
Hey, do they already know Wing Chun?
Hopefully they do. They
They
just
can
gotta stay
teach
away
you.
from me, and they'll learn it.
So you're gonna offer us your sexual services to learn Wing Chun?
Yes, I am, actually.
Okay. I can see that.
Yeah, I would love to see that. I wish Ip Man would have had a daughter.
Yeah.
I would love to see that.
Yeah, I think he did. I think her name's Ronda
Duh! Yeah, Ronda Rousey got shit on Ip Man. What the fuck is up, though?
Rousey.
That bitch needs to get an acting coach, is what she needs to do. Her fucking terrible ass acting. Oh, but in the questions now. God, that woman is terrible on the acting. Jesus. Stick to fighting, girl, please.
And she wasn't that bad in Entourage either.
No, she was fucking terrible in Entourage. What are you talking about? She was
Well, she
terrible.
was playing herself, though.
Yeah, she was even terrible at that. She was horrible.
That's
She was probably
bad.
the worst thing of that film. Oh my god. And then her line in Furious 7 was fucking
Oh,
god
God,
awful. I was like,
yes.
ugh.
That
I mean,
was.
the movie was already bad, but when I heard her line, I was just like, oh God, you make Ludacris look like a good actor. Sorry, honey, you a terrible fucking actor.
Badass fighter, but
Hey, who knows? She might have liked me in Entourage because she was looking for someone to tell her the truth. I'd have been like, well, hey, look, your acting fucking sucks.
yeah, she would beat your ass in bed, though. You know
Oh man, I would fucking love that, dude. Oh hell yeah. Shit. And then they
that.
made her a stereotype in Entourage too, though. That was a thing. It was just like, oh, she just gets angry and wants to beat up people and shit like that. It's like, wow, really? I mean, granted, maybe she is like that in real life, I don't know, but then I highly doubt that because Ronda Rousey, she's like really like she looks out for women and stuff like that. I mean she's so like uplifting and shit like that in interviews or whatever. She's always looking out for women's rights and stuff like that and defending the little guy and stuff. I highly doubt she's just this aggressive brute
No, I don't think so.
that Entourage made her out to be. I mean she seems like a fun person to hang out
Oh,
with and shit.
yeah.
I mean I would just start fights just for her to beat their ass if you ask me. I'd be like, hey, what'd you say to me?
Could you imagine if you were dating her and you cheated on her, what she'll do to you?
She wouldn't have to chop your dick off. She'd mangle your dick with a headlock.
She'll probably rip your dick off with her hand.
And then wear it around her belt.
Yeah.
She would wheel me out to the ring in a wheelchair just to say, this is what I did to him. And I'd be waving, hey. Don't fuck with her. She's crazy.
Yeah.
And, you know, she'd rip your dick off, and then you wouldn't even tell nobody. You wouldn't need to be like, I'm not telling the police about this. No, not at all.
My name's Caitlin now.
Yeah, my name is Caitlyn Jenner. Yes, that's right.
Yeah.
Oh wait, he just tucked it in. Oops.
Hey, spoilers for the guys who don't know.
guys. Oh, see, they'll find out. They'll know.
They'll know.
I know I can hear the hate mail coming now. I don't give a fuck, Caitlyn Jenner. I'm so sick of that chick or whatever it is. Oh, she's so brave. Ain't a damn thing brave about her. You know how many fucking transgender and lesbians and bisexual people come out on a daily basis? Oh, but just because it's this person, a famous person, do it now, it's brave and shit. Get the fuck up out of here with that shit.
Yeah.
I think it is brave for you to come out, whatever, and tell you whatever, but. Don't be trying to make yourself the center of the fucking world like you're the first person to ever fucking come out or something like that.
Yep.
Dennis Rodman's been coming out since the fucking 90s.
Yeah.
I was playing. But, oh, it's good because I know a lot of people that gave me shit about Caitlyn Jenner. God.
Yeah.
I'm sure down in Ohio, you guys probably like, that's right, black man, you tell them, fuck that fag. No.
We're not the South.
Oh, you close enough. So
No, we're not.
I've seen your airport. Don't give me that bullshit. Okay, shit.
We're not.
Yes, you are. Okay, terrible. Get with the times, Ohio, please. According to LeBron, though, Ohio is just like Miami. So,
Yeah.
you see that trailer in or that clip at least where LeBron is. I already told you about this. Or he's just trying to convince Bill Hader that little Cleveland and fucking Miami are the same cities.
Yeah. You sent me that clip.
Shit is hilarious. But Sherman Robledo, first question we got here. He says, really, guys? I heard the first film in Dream Warriors getting love, but what about Nightmare on Elm Street 2? That film is fantastic.
If you've seen the Never Sleep Again documentary, you can tell that when the director, the writer, and the cast don't say that. They don't say it's fantastic. That's when you know it's not fantastic.
They say the third one of the first one's fantastic too. I mean,
They said they love, they said they really like the I can't, I think of, I can't remember who the director of the third one was, but he said they liked the New Line, liked the, they said that's probably the funnest Nightmare on Elm Street movie they did.
well then, damn. Never mind. Let me shut the
I mean, and Nightmare on Elm Street 2, it's creative, but that's not the Freddy movie that we know of. They
I
completely.
kind of like the new one we just reviewed, the one we reviewed, yeah.
Yeah, and plus they had so many gay overtones.
You know, I was going to say, I remember about a year ago when we did Dream World, we talked shit about the second one. And I remember because I had got that one. No, I think I got the. I remember at Best Buy, they had you get the third and the. Yeah, it was the third and the second one. You get the second and third one for like $9.99 or something like that. And I was like, fuck yeah, I'm getting it. I was like, I love Freddy. And I forgot because it's been a while since I saw the second one. I remember rewatching it, and I was just like, if I'm not mistaken, Freddy doesn't show up till the end or some shit like that.
Yeah.
I can't remember it now, even after rewatching it about 2 years ago, people. But, because we talked so much shit about it. But even today, Sherman, I'm not even going to argue with you. Maybe Z can more so because he remembers it more than me. But that second one just always forgettable for me every time I watch it.
It's oh yeah, it's forgettable.
One thing I do remember though is the homo tones that it kept making and shit in the film. You can't forget those.
And they even said in the documentary that they did not, no, they had no one on set, no one like realized what they were saying or doing.
I remember when we talked about this, the second one pissed you off, if I'm not mistaken.
It's because it completely changed Freddy, and then the third one they went back to who Freddy was.
We gotta review that now.
Because Freddy came back, he was like living, he was still doing the dreams, but he was pretty much inside Jesse.
I
Pretty
kind
much
of wish we never did Dream Warriors in this now, just because we could have had a Freddy month.
yeah.
I would love to go, because we definitely, after hearing this now, we definitely got to do the second one pretty soon.
I'm up for it. Maybe October.
Yeah, that's true. I forgot. That is Halloween time. Which, thank God, we don't have to see no more Halloween 2s. That's out now, so.
And we still got Season of the Witch. And we got Busta Rhymes. And we got Busta Rhymes still out there.
I think I'd rather watch that one. Season of the Witch. Season of the Witch is boring. I'm sorry.
Aren't they all?
People love Season of the Witch, though.
It's not a Halloween movie.
I mean, even if it wasn't a Halloween movie, to me, it's just still boring. I mean, the concept of it is cool because you know you put these masks on and you got these subliminal commercials that does something to you when you put these masks on Halloween. That sounds cool, but
I mean, yeah, kill the kid. I don't care. Kill the kid. You know, that's the best part of the movie is when the kid died.
yeah, but like the whole going to this factory where they produce them and fighting this company or whatever and shit like that, where I was just like, yeah. This is definitely terrible.
Yeah.
But maybe that film is fantastic, Sherman. We'll find out later. But Well, Z knows it's not, but Lance Garrison, he says, who's your favorite iconic villain between the three? Jason, Michael Myers, or Freddy Krueger? We already know mine. That's Freddy.
It's Freddy. He has personality.
Yeah, he's like, yeah, we said it in our review. Personality, man. It's killing it.
Because Jason and Michael, pretty much same person.
I mean, their personality is just they don't die.
There, yeah. And it's pretty much they got the same movement. Same
show up in places where even though you've ran like 3 miles and they still show up around that time. So yeah.
Yeah. But Freddy, and plus Freddy can kill you when you're least expecting it.
Oh, yeah. See, that's the more frightening thing about it is when you go to sleep. You know, people try to stay awake.
Do you think people, when you say, you know, it says so and so died in their sleep, you're like, oh, Freddy got him.
So around when the first Freddy came out, you think they were saying that?
It's possible, because they said people died in their sleep a lot. Hey,
well, you remember back then, films had more of an influence. I remember when Jaws came out, people stayed the fuck out of water. Psycho came out, people didn't take showers for weeks.
When Titanic came out, people stopped riding boats.
Yeah, that's true. When The Exorcist came out, churches, you had to get a ticket to get in church.
Yeah, I remember that.
Yeah, so, I don't know, that would be, if people were dying in their sleep, oh, so, you know what, to connect it, the old lady from Titanic, she died in her sleep, Freddy got her. Says, I finally got you at your most vulnerable.
You just had to tell that fucking story.
Freddy was a fan, he wanted to hear it.
Yeah, you see, when they're listening to the story, Freddy's in the background.
Yeah, he's crying. He's passing the Kleenexes. He's like, "That's beautiful. Now go to sleep, bitch. It's time to take your life."
Yeah.
He says, "It's prime time, bitch, and you need to join me in hell."
Yep.
That's why she was smiling at the end, because she was with her one true love, Freddy.
Freddy shows up at the when Rose the walks tower, up to Jack.
Whatever that was.
And the, yeah,
Jack, it was Freddy.
Yeah. Oh my god, how many spin-offs could they do of Freddy? Inception and then shit? Remember that? Think of that one.
Instead of like the people that were on the boat, you see like Michael Myers, Jason, Chucky, Leprechaun, all of them, whatever. It's all the horror.
Oh, they're just laughing, Leprechaun.
Yeah, they're all just chilling there, and then next thing you know, Freddy's at the top of the stairway, wait.
Could you imagine? Just imagine if Wes Craven and Christopher Nolan teamed up and made an Inception Freddy movie.
God, you know, just leave Wes Craven out of it. But you know,
well, you need Wes Craven because the character.
Okay, well, I'm sure Nolan can do something with it.
That'd be awesome. I'm not going to lie, that'd be awesome.
I think the problem with that is Nolan wouldn't try to scare you, he'd just fuck your mind.
Oh, he would, yeah.
To the point where you'd just be like, well, damn, maybe Freddy is real. Nolan is definitely one of the... What's his next film that's coming out?
I don't even know.
He doesn't really release films back-to-back or whatever, but I still think he's one of the best directors working today.
Yeah, he's up there.
Yeah, he's definitely the guy's really talented. Jack. He's got a little photo right there, too. I don't know what that is.
I can't make it out. Looks like a key.
It does look like a key, huh? Jack, you have to tell us what that is, man. But he says, I vote that you do redo the Interstellar review correctly. Damn, just what do you think of it? Talking about Nolan, the Interstellar. Oh, I love how he says do it correctly. Okay, well, let's fuck it then. There you go.
That's my vote.
Well, you damn near did give it a fuck.
Because it deserved it.
So you wasn't on the review. So what did you? What is your rating of it? I mean,
it's a legitimate fuck it.
Oh wow, okay. I can't remember what I gave it. I know I didn't give it a fuck. I think I gave it a stream it, maybe a high stream it, somewhere around that territory. But
I mean, I was low. You know, I was so excited to see it with because this cast and you got Nolan, and it was just.
I think last year had to be your most disappointing year because he was excited for Sin City 2 as well.
Oh, why do you keep bringing that up?
You had a lot of disappointments last year for you.
Yeah.
It's funny because they all made your worst of list.
They did.
Z's worst of list is his disappointment list.
What? It was.
I'm prepared to see what you're excited for this year, then.
I've seen my to my excitement: Avengers, Jurassic World, Mad Max. You know, awesome. You know, I'm fine.
He's not taking no more chances now.
No, I still want to. I mean, when fucking Southpaw, I wanted to see that. Then I asked you, you're like, no, you don't have to see it. I'm like,
yeah, don't waste your money.
I'm like, fuck you.
That would have been on your worst list.
I'll probably still see it, but
Mission Impossible. Don't waste your money.
Mission Impossible, I want to see.
Kicks ass.
I know. Ant-Man.
Oh, you haven't seen Ant-Man yet?
Yeah, I have.
Oh yeah. Oh, okay.
It's okay. A little disappointed in it, but that's just me.
I'm just disappointed T.I. was in it.
What's that?
I'm just disappointed T.I. was in it.
Yeah, and then Michael Pena. I don't understand his character at all.
Yeah. Those were the two worst things of the movie. The rest was good to me.
And I like Michael Pena. I do. I really...
He has his moments. I've only seen one movie with that moment, but...
And that was End of Watch.
Yes. I did think the way he told the story of how he met it, that was pretty funny.
Yeah.
He started getting over the top too much or whatever, but... Hey, man, why don't you give a review of Interstellar then? I've never heard your review of Interstellar.
Interstellar, you know, McConaughey, it's a really weird story. It really takes you, especially at the beginning, you know, you got the story about the dust storms and...
But one thing, too, I don't agree with Nolan brought out the best of McConaughey. I've seen McConaughey act way better than that film.
Yeah, I have...
That was a lot of people's criticism, too, was they were saying, well, at least you gotta say Nolan brought out the best of these actors, and that's bullshit, because... Yeah, and David O'Yellow and who else was
Jessica Chastain, Anne Hathaway, Matt Damon.
Yeah, Casey Affleck and all that. I've seen every one of these guys do a much better job in their acting performances than whatever that was in Interstellar. If anything, I thought Interstellar was some of their weakest performances.
And especially Michael Caine.
Well.
I think that was obviously his weakest performance, especially when he's telling Jessica Chastain, the plot, Hans Zimmer's music overshadows what he's saying, and that's for, 4 minutes, 5 minutes? And you just hear...
I gotta say this, another thing, too, about Hans Zimmer, I'm starting to notice, like, everybody thinks he's, like, one of the greatest composers. I'll give him his credit, he is great or whatever, but his music now is just starting to kind of blend in.
Yeah.
It sounds like it has kind of somewhat, because everybody was raving about that score, and I was like... That score sounds just—it sounds like any. I mean, if you didn't know Hans Zimmer was on that film and you heard that score, wouldn't you know that's Hans Zimmer?
Yeah.
Yeah. So I don't think that makes the score great, personally. I thought it was good, but it was just like everybody was talking about how great it was. I'm just like, that's debatable. I think Hans Zimmer nowadays, when he does the scores, they sound too much like Hans Zimmer. He's not. I don't think he's going out of his element to try to switch it up, if you will.
Even though it's Interstellar, it has its moments, and the moments were, obviously it,
the, Casey Affleck was beating his wife. That was a moment.
That was a moment. And then the whole,
he started hugging his sister, even though he tried to beat her too.
Then the whole time travel thing, wormhole, it just got confusing.
What was those little robots that were following, Matthew McConaughey?
I don't even know. They came out of nowhere.
They were cool, though. I forgot their names. Oh, and Matt Damon. Oh, definitely. That was his worst performance.
That came out of nowhere. Literally.
That was really his worst performance, by far. Matt Damon's worst performance I ever saw. That, even his background story, that it was just weak as shit.
That came out, like, he wasn't even announced in the movie, was he?
I can't remember, to be honest.
Because that would have been a big deal, and then he just showed up like, Matt Damon, what the fuck are you doing here? Go do a Bourne movie, motherfucker.
They literally could have got anyone to do that, though.
They could have.
I mean, they could have got me to do that. It would have been delivered the same way and everything, because it was that bad.
Yeah. Actually, I don't even understand the plot.
Well, you know, I don't need to.
Visually, the movie's good. Visually, the movie is good.
It's stunning, yeah, don't get me wrong, but that don't make up for a film.
No, it doesn't, because the plot's confusing.
Okay, the beginning of the plot was, okay, they were looking for another planet to save the world, because the resources, I guess, were dying on Earth. So they were looking for a planet where Earthlings could inhabit it, or human beings could inhabit it. And then it went to some vortex world, and then next thing it came out, next thing you know, they on another planet or something like that. Like, the timeline was just all over. That last hour just, like, went into fuck it deal. Especially the whole bookshelf thing. What a coincidence shit that was, that Jessica Chastain would know that that was her father contacting her.
That literally, I was like, okay, this is a low, this is a stream it, and then that happened. I'm like, fuck it.
Well, because then right after that scene, she ran outside, and who looked like he was angry, he was coming back to beat on her, or whatever case ever, they just hug, and then that's the end of that conflict. I'm just like, wait a minute, wait a minute.
Yeah, they pretty much dropped Affleck's personality at an instant.
Well, they dropped it twice, because first he was this loving son or whatever, and the next note he grew up to be cool, and the next note he started, we found out he was beating on his wife, and they were scared of him and shit.
Yeah.
The next you know it, Jessica Chastain created distraction by burning the cornfield. He went to go check on it, the next you know they just hugging, and he's just like, damn, that was terrible. What happened in this 5 minute time span of...
What happened in the 2 hours
I guess, man. Hey, you got a reply to Jack from Sean. He says, so Z should put it as his number one film on his worst of list. Well, then by that logic, yes, they should review it correctly.
Take it, Sean didn't like the movie.
Problem so, yes. Once again, that's the Nolan fanboys coming out. When you criticize a Nolan film or anything like that, they come out strong on his ass.
True, true.
I'm sorry, because people already had in their mindset that that movie was going to be fucking amazing. And then when that movie came out, because it got those mediocre ratings and shit, and then people started criticizing, those fanboys came out in heaps talking about, oh, this movie's great, you just don't understand it, you don't get it, whatever. It's just like, yeah, you just defended Nolan.
Which, it's nothing against, Nolan has done good. He has done good movies.
Yeah, it's just that film is shit.
Every director has at least a bad movie. I mean, Spielberg, one of the most favorite directors ever. I think the
He's got
movies
a
we've done,
couple.
we've reviewed his shit.
He's got a couple of them, actually. He's got some boring shit in there. I mean,
Amistad.
the same goes for Tarantino, too. He's got his fan base. You talk shit about his films or criticize him for anything, they'll get on your ass as well, too. Nolan has that fan base now as well.
I can say another track, like you said, Tarantino. I'm gonna say Kevin Smith.
Oh, fuck yeah. Oh, my God.
You say anything bad about his movies, you get fucking like lynched.
Oh, shit. You say anything bad about Kevin Smith, he'll try to lynch you.
Yeah.
I don't know how his fat ass would do it. I mean, he probably can't even fucking tie a rope around with that same. I'm sick of him in that fucking hockey jersey. I wish he'd hang himself with it. But, sorry. Fuck that jersey and fuck Kevin Smith. I do not like that guy.
I think that's the only thing he can wear.
It's the only thing that fits him. That and moo-moos.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. The biggest fucking pretentious douchebag up in fucking Hollywood. Yeah, but, yeah, Nolan's not still, like I said before we even read this, but I think he still think he's a great director. It's just, I think he got a little too ambitious with Interstellar. It didn't work out. That movie made absolutely no fucking sense whatsoever.
He tried to do. He definitely went out of his comfort zone. Definitely.
Yeah, I think he was feeling himself a little too much.
You think he got cocky?
It's
After
hard to
the.
say with Nolan because you don't see him in too many interviews, but he probably so. Probably thought he could do no wrong.
Because
And he's
he.
like, "Well, I made Interstellar. I mean, Inception work. I can make this work." The difference between Inception and this is he's worked on Inception for years.
Yeah, he looks like he obviously created the world, kind of like Cameron with Avatar. He created the world for a while. Interstellar looked like it's plus it seemed rushed.
Well,
This.
Inception, he's even said he's worked, that was his passion, right? He worked on that for a long ass time. I forgot how many years it was, but he worked on that for a while.
It was like
So,
4 or 5.
I think it was more than that. I think it was before the Batman films.
Oh. Damn. 10
Yeah,
years?
I think it was somewhere around the vein of 6 to 10 years or something like that. Like he's always had that writing. He never had it completed, but he's always worked on it in silence or whatever. But with Interstellar, you can tell. Yeah, I see why Inception worked and this didn't. It's because you put the time and effort into it. Where in Interstellar, it just seems like these are the kind of films you get from Nolan if he doesn't have the time to produce mind fucking thrillers like he does. Another
But
thing too, this shit was long.
2:20, I think.
That shit was long as shit. I was in that IMAX theater forever. I was like, damn, this shit ever gonna end? Because the longer it went on, the worse it got.
Yeah.
That ending was some bullshit. Jack is gonna give us so much shit about this now.
Hey, you know what? That's the glory of comments.
Yep, that's the glory of not liking Interstellar.
Interstellar that wasn't even that big of a success.
I'm sure overseas it was.
I mean, didn't even get nominated for any Oscars.
I don't know. We didn't pay attention to Oscars this year. Probably did. I bet best score, probably.
The score that took out the dialogue? Yeah, okay. Okay.
Wayne says it's only if you see it in IMAX. Cody says bullshit because he didn't see it in IMAX. He said I still didn't hear the dialogue. Yeah. Well, Michael Caine's old and it's hard to hear him talk anyway, but you got a score blaring over him and shit. And it's like, yep.
Yeah.
I don't know, that film was weak. I thought that was his weakest film, actually.
Yeah, definitely out of his with the Dark Knights,
I think
Inception.
Memento is his best.
Memento
Memento's,
is the
yeah.
storytelling in Memento was absolutely great, yeah.
Yeah, and it was done at an hour and a half time pacing, too. I think that's just fantastic. And he told so much story in that hour and a half.
Yeah, and this one, 2.5 hours of fucking sci-fi bullshit. I don't like Interstellar at all.
Yeah, I can tell. Jesus Christ. Did you
Would...
make a post about that on Facebook one time?
Yes, I'm like, this movie's
Make a
fucking
meme
shit.
about it.
I mean, you hyped up this movie with this cast, this director, and then you turn it into absolute garbage.
Showed up at Comic-Con too to promote as well. His first time at Comic-Con promoted.
No.
Yeah, he did. He showed up at Comic-Con. Him and Matthew McConaughey showed up to promote it. His first
Oh,
year at
McConaughey? Oh,
Comic-Con.
I thought you meant Nolan.
Nolan did too, yeah.
Oh, God. Nolan, come on.
Was his first year at Comic-Con to promote Interstellar.
Wrong. Wrong movie to do that at.
Personally, let's think about it this way. That film is it never gets brought up when you bring up Nolan's name.
No, it's forgettable. It's kind of
Even
like
you,
Dark Knight Rises. It's
even
for.
if you, oh shit! Now you open up some more hate.
I consider Dark Knight Rises a forgettable movie.
No, it is, but still, people still love it. The fanboys of Nolan, they love that. Damn, see, you're just trying to piss off every Nolan fan, right?
I'm not saying it's a bad movie, it's forgettable.
Disappointing. Let
Disappointing.
down. A lot of terms you could use for it that
Hey, fucking Tom Hardy was good. But the movie's too. Nolan needs to do. Like, stay away from Peter Jackson. Fucking edit your movies down to a respectable time.
his writing felt lazier out of the three films, for sure. I can say
And I
that.
think we both agreed that this Dark Knight Rises seemed rushed compared to the other two.
Dark Knight Rises, I didn't say it was rushed, but I said it was shit, but it
Yeah.
was different. No, because I think I like Dark Knight Rises probably more out of all the hosts on the site, but I do agree with all the complaints and whatever and stuff. I think it's an okay film, but compared to the previous two, I think it's the weakest, and storytelling is kind of the writing itself is weak as shit. I'm sorry, that whole "Oh, I like your name, Robin." I personally, I thought that was a weak. I was debating with that someone the other day up in, and he I was telling him about that, and he was just like, come on, you know Nolan had to say Robin just because, you know, people wouldn't have got the name. I said, motherfucker, everybody here got smartphones. They could have pulled that shit out and looked up Dick Grayson. Not only that, but I had a crowded theater who stood up and applauded at Guardians of the Galaxy when a fucking duck showed up at the end of the film. I don't want to hear that shit if nobody would have known who Dick Grayson was. If you know who Howard the Duck is but don't know who Dick Grayson is, that's some bullshit.
Did you stand
Everybody
up in the...
fucking knows who Dick Grayson is.
Yeah, they do.
Who's Dick Grayson, Zeke?
He's Robin.
Thank you. But who's that duck at the end of Guardians of the Galaxy? If you not never know... If you didn't know shit about Marvel or anything like that, whatever, you would look at that. I mean, you truly had to be, like, either a really hardcore movie lover or you had to be, like, a really hardcore Marvel fan to know who the fuck that duck was at the end of that film.
Yeah, well, it's the same thing with that. And then Avengers, they probably... When I told you I saw Avengers, people thought I was Hellboy.
Oh, yeah. I forgot when Thanos showed up. Nobody knew who the fuck that was.
I'm like, Hellboy? Where the fuck is that coming from? I even said that, too. I'm like, I don't know who that is, but cool. And someone behind me, like, oh, it's Hellboy. I'm like... No, it's not, you idiot.
Yeah, why the fuck would Hellboy be in a Marvel film? It doesn't even look like Hellboy, that's the thing.
I know.
Hellboy revamped 2.0, I guess, I don't know. But yeah, so I just find that hard to believe. And first of all, I don't think Nolan gives a fuck what fans think for him to even put that, oh, his name is Robin instead of Dick Grayson. That just doesn't sound like a Nolan move.
Yeah.
I think Nolan is a clever guy, and I think he's a lot smarter than that, and I don't think he would cheapskate himself on just calling him Robin instead of Dick Grayson. I just think he didn't give a fuck anymore about the superhero shit no more.
I think
he was done with DC at the time because they were so trying to get him on other projects and shit, and he was just like, nah, I got other stuff I want to do and shit.
Yeah, but...
Well, people, that is a bonus review. That's Z's Interstellar review.
We won't be reviewing that in Throwback Tuesday. We got a while for that to be brought up.
I ain't reviewing that anyway. I ain't watching that shit again. That's your goddamn mind. That's the only film, too, of Nolan that I don't want to rewatch either.
That's when I saw that post. I'm like, no, I don't want to relive that movie.
Because Nolan films... like Inception and Memento, I like going back to put the work in and figure out stuff like that. Interstellar, I didn't like putting the work in that film. That was too much fucking work.
Yeah.
I was like, okay, man, you got a 2.5-hour film, your longest film probably ever here, and you didn't wore me out already from the beginning, and now you want me to put in the most work at the end of the film? I'm like, no, you know what? No, we're done.
Yeah.
For an hour and a half, maybe. With Memento, that's perfect, but 2.5 hours of this shit, no. And then when you try to explain it, you crank up Hans Zimmer's soundtrack. It's like, okay, nah, it's okay.
Huh.
Oh, shit, Cody even liked it more than both of us. I think he gave it a rent or something like that. People still gave him shit for it.
What the fuck?
You gotta give it a high seat or you don't like it. That's one of those things.
No one fanboy is that passionate?
Yeah, that passionate. If I'm not mistaken, Interstellar could be his lowest rated critic-wise movie as well, too, so.
Yeah.
So, I'm not shy about that, but, yeah. But, people, that is the show, man.
That is it.
That was it. We had a lot of Skype issues, that's for damn sure, so.
Someday we won't. Someday.
Yeah, well. Well, keep hoping for that someday, then, I guess. Yeah, you know when we'll have it, too, is when I'm dead.
Which... If you keep drinking. Oh, wait, you're not going to Vegas anymore.
Well, yeah, this is my last weekend, so, yeah.
For now.
Yeah, well, yeah. For now. Well, last weekend out of a month. There you go. Out of going back to back, so, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, I'm like halfway there. Dead people. Watch next week. You're going to see me with a lot of energy and a lot of personality or whatever. Today, I'm just like lagging it, like, yeah, oh, whatever, fuck it, you know, hey, here it goes, yeah, blah, 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 whatever, you know. But, good times, though, good times.
Oh, I'm sure, yeah. I'm sure. You're probably, your liver hates you big time.
I don't have it anymore.
You can, okay.
Yeah, I got to cut out at this alleyway.
Did you take one from a bum?
Yeah. Oh no, I didn't take it from him. I just said he could have it. I cut it out with a coat hanger.
A
That's
reverse
all he had.
was he like a alleyway abortionist?
I don't know. I didn't. We had a conversation, but we didn't really want to dwell into his bum proportion because I didn't want to embarrass him. So we just talked about sports and shit like that.
Okay.
Yeah, we had a politics, Donald Trump, you know, the usual stuff that you talk to with bums.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I didn't want to really get into his lifestyle, you know. Didn't want to embarrass the guy. And all he had was a coat hanger. He didn't have a knife on him, so coat hanger worked. It hurt like hell, but it worked, so.
I'm sure then you poured alcohol on it to reduce the pain.
Yeah. Tequila.
Yeah.
Put the Patron on there, too. Good stuff. So, it stings and tastes good. So my body felt it.
But, good luck on that, no liver.
Oh, yeah, man, don't worry. I'll be fine. Don't worry. We'll be recording from hell one day.
I would say take Cody's, but his is probably worse than yours. His is probably gone for years.
Yeah, he's just still in denial about it, but, you know. He's in true. He talks about how bad I am, or whatever. But yeah, Cody's definitely in denial of his liver. So his liver's destroyed. So because he drinks just about as much as I do, if not more. So
yeah.
I think that the difference between me and him is that I just drink harder alcohol. He drinks just craft beer. So
yep, I actually went to the ER Thursday night because of my drinking.
Damn, are you dead?
Yes. No.
Wow, that was a terrible dead impression, but okay.
No.
Hey.
No, I was coughing up blood Thursday night, and I went to the ER, and I have bad acid reflux, and 6 packs of beer I drink every morning really made it worse.
Damn. Shit. are you sure you want to record this on air?
It's fine.
Hey, fuck it, whatever. We open on here, people. We talk about anything and everything on moviespoilerspodcast.com, man. So if Z was almost dead, then hey, I think you should share it with the world.
Yeah.
Our all 2.5 views that we've had, so.
Wait, yes.
So, wow, Z, so you cheated death. All right, man.
Yep, I bitch slapped death in its face.
Oh, so if I don't hear from you on a Tuesday, then I know you're dead then. All right. Perfect.
Right.
Yeah. All right, man. So, hey, it looks like we're all trying to out-cheat death. Yeah, remember, you got to outlive Wayne. That's the goal.
Oh, he lives in Australia. He's going to die sooner or later.
Well, he's going to die because somebody's going to put a bullet in his head. He's going to talk to the wrong person one day, so.
he's going to be nice to the wrong person.
And you know what the problem with that is, too, is Luke's going to die with him because whatever way you say, Luke gets shit for it as well, so.
Oh, that's a shame.
It is a shame, but, you know, hey, that's what happens when you defend him, I guess. You just got to go down with him.
As long as Wayne videotapes him dying, it's a win.
Yeah, so whatever spoiling bastard out there is that's planning to kill Wayne, please make sure you have a camera on. Don't show your face, because I don't want you to get caught. But please have a camera on, and email it. You can email it to me at moviespoilerspodcast@gmail.com. Or if you know what, you don't feel like emailing, you feel like getting on that Twitter and talking about how you murdered someone, one of the spoiler hosts there, you can do so at moviespoilerpod. But if the video is just that extra long, then why don't you go ahead and upload that up on Google Plus, and you can do so easily, because if you have a Google account and a YouTube account, you automatically have a Plus account, which means it's easier for you to upload videos of murdering somebody for 10 minutes.
Yeah, and you might get a million views.
And you can send me there, the video there, at moviespoilers_TPO on Google Plus. That is correct, sir. And you can also visit moviespoilerspodcast.com, where you can listen to some of our greatest and best podcasts in the world. That's right, the best in the world. You got such things as Throwback Tuesday, Not Worth Kicking the Ass, Movie Spoilers, Reviews, Spoiling at the Movies, Fire It Up, and then not to mention, you know, King Falls AM.
Yes.
That little radio station that's making news all over iTunes. People, if you haven't done so, do so now. Head over to iTunes and leave them a review. Kingsfall AM, type that in a search engine, look it up, Kingsfall AM, leave them a review and a 5-star rating. Those boys would highly appreciate it. They're moving up in the top 100 new and noteworthy section.
And that's a great show.
Oh, it so is, man. It's such a cool concept, the production of it and stuff. It always leaves you wanting more with its 15-minute motherfucking shows and shit. It's a great show, though.
Oh, Eric and Kyle. Wow, man.
I don't know who those guys are. This is a radio station with Sammy and Ben.
Oh, not them, but they are supporting it too. But that
Oh,
thing,
yeah. They're supporting
but
it. Yeah, it's
I
great.
cause I cause I see his posts and I see Eric's or Kyle's posts and it's like I see where it's ranked on iTunes. I'm like, holy shit.
Yeah, man. Eric and Kyle are big supporters of King Falls, you know, because we're all going to take a trip down to King Falls one day, and hopefully we can be on the show with Sammy and Ben, you know.
Hey, how long is that supposed to last? No time limit?
It'll last until the radio show gets canceled by the TV producers, you know? Yeah, it's a real show, people.
That's bound to happen.
Oh, yeah. So, Z, where can they find you at?
No, they can find me at the Twitter.
And Twitter. Oh, keep the V in there. I like that.
The Twitter. At SBulldog99. You can see Z, and I'm holding the Sex in the City DVD. Which I still haven't destroyed that yet.
I know Cody and Wayne destroyed this shit. Wayne made a whole fucking movie out of it.
It's coming. It's coming.
Did you see his movie?
Yes, it's hilarious.
That shit was funny as fuck, actually. I mean, that was probably the best destroying video so far. That was awesome. I mean, how he just turned it into like this creature that moved on its own and shit. I was like, that was awesome.
I might do a Paranormal Activity style.
You know what that movie was like? His video was like, it was like that movie about the killer tire.
Rubber.
That's what Wayne's movie was like.
Rubber.
Rubber.
I'll think of something to do. I'm creative like that. Can also find also on Twitter for the Shattered Images Films page, which is my movie company. Since we're finishing up New Blood Awakening,
Say what?
yeah, I got a couple more weeks left, and then you can find me at
That don't
Google.
sound close, man. A couple of weeks. That
Cut,
sounds
well,
close to me.
Fridays and Saturdays.
Oh, okay.
We have about 5 filming days left. We started in June. We started beginning of June. You can find me at the Google Plus at also Chad Zuber. And if you want to support the social network and support that, how should I describe this guy? Pretentious,
Oh, I
conceit.
got a way of describing him. The red capes are coming. Oh, you know what? I got a way of describing it. The way of describing him is like genocide.
Oh, harsh, man. Harsh.
That's what that social network is like. It's like genocide.
You can find me at.
Did
You
I
can
nail it
find.
or did I nail it? Come on
You
now.
you That was to the T.
Yes.
You can find me on the book at Chad Zuber as well.
I'm sure Cody's gonna give me a lot of shit for that. Him and his people. Shalom, bitch. Transform into a nearest cash register near you, my friend. Yeah, but anyway, me and the Jewish community—they love me. Well, people, that has been Throwback Tuesday 110, another milestone for us. 110 episodes of talking to this motherfucker. Wow, and yet still having Skype issues.
We're improving, but Skype isn't.
So that'll mean we're improving then, man. Skype is still doing it, then we not.
The movies
But
are
people,
improving.
I guess, yeah. But well, people, that's the end of the show, and I guess we got to be back next week, and we will be back next week. We hope you enjoyed today's show, even with the Skype issues. But I'm your spoiling host with the most, the phenomenal one.
And this is Z.
You try to come up with your own catchphrase.
I can't.
Yeah, don't worry. Everybody's still working on it, well, except for me and Cody. I think Wayne tried one, and I don't know if he insulted himself or gave himself a compliment, but.
Is Cody Shalom?
I wish. I wish it was, I wish his, like, I'm the most phenomenal one. I wish his would be like, and I'm in your cash register, Cody. you know, something like that. I wish it was like that or something, but, you know.
That's because he's Jewish and black.
Yeah, so he's like a thieving Jew.
He's a thieving Jew.
Yeah, exactly. Well, kind of like they all are anyway, but anyway.
Oh! And there's more hate for us.
I'm fucking with you. I love the Jewish community. I don't care what you did to Jesus. I still love you. Okay, I gotta get out of here now, boy.
Later, bitches. Bastards.